Now we're going to go from a massive superhero blockbuster to a film about a massive brand that might actually be even more famous than Iron Man or Black Panther, and that's Barbie. The Hulu documentary Tiny Shoulders tells the story of how and why this curvy blonde doll was created in 1959 and how and why Barbie got a radical makeover in 2017. Shot over a couple of years by director and producer Andrea Nevins and producer Kristen Crocker, Tiny Shoulders Rethinking Barbie goes inside the El Segundo offices of Mattel, where executives debate Barbie's role in pop culture and if the toy company should change her unrealistic body shape. When I talk with Nevins and Crocker, we began with a clip from their film. It's Ruth Handler, and she co-founded Mattel, the company behind Barbie, with her husband.
I had observed my daughter Barbie playing with her friends on the floor. They would play with adult paper dolls. And they would reflect their dreams of their future through their play with these paper dolls. I tried to convince Elliot that we could make a three-dimensional doll and create such play patterns. And he said it'd be impossible for us to do. I took these paper dolls to our factory. We by then had quite a few designers. I couldn't spark a favorable response from any of our male designers.
What does Ruth do when none of the men in the company took to her idea of creating a doll?
You know, if there's the classic story of the Sisyphean task that it is for us as women to put an idea out in the world that we feel incredibly strongly about. And she was doing it in the mid-50s, early 50s. What does she do? She does not take no for an answer. And she goes to Europe and sees a doll that is very similar to the kind of doll she was imagining. She brings that home and hands it to an engineer, a rocket engineer, and says, figure this out. How do we make this? And 3 years later, it was on the shelves.
And the doll in Europe, it's not just an unusual doll, it's unusual in who is buying the doll in Europe. Could you talk a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. So this doll was a doll that was apparently meant as a kind of a turn-on for men. And we're not entirely sure what men were supposed to do with her. Were they supposed to sit her in front of their car? Was she sort of one of those things that sometimes truck drivers used to hang in their rearview mirror? We're not entirely sure. However, she was beautifully dressed. And one of the things that Ruth really loved was the fact that her clothes were so finely made. So she takes this doll home. It's definitely sexualized. And the male designers look at it and say, there's no way on earth that a parent is going to buy this sexy doll with breasts for their child. And she just keeps on pushing and saying, I believe that that little girls are looking for an example other than baby dolls, because before that, little girls had only been playing with baby dolls. So they were looking down at an infant's face, and that was as far as their imagination could go. They were going to be mothers. And this was a way of imagining yourself as an adult. And as Ruth says, there was no adult that any little girl knew that didn't have breasts. So get over it, men.
Team Barbie ultimately does come up with a consensus opinion about what should be done, but there is a very strong debate on both sides of the issue about changing and not changing how Barbie looks. What was the argument about, and how did that end up playing itself out backstage in terms of what the people were advocating on one side of the issue and on the other?
The period that they were in at that particular moment, there was a lot of question about, well, and there always has been about Barbie. Is she just too unrealistic a form? Does she set up for girls, you know, kind of a beauty mythology and a white supremacy that is really ridiculous in our current society? However, there was another side that believed that the doll is a doll and should never be thought of as anything but a piece of plastic, like a toy to dress. And to that point, it was fascinating to learn that one of the reasons why they held on to that particular body form is because part of the pattern of play is that a mother would pass on her doll's clothes to her daughter, and her daughter would pass on those doll's clothes to her daughter. And there was this kind of magical togetherness through generations that they didn't want to mess with. That was a huge part of their constituency. And if they started to mess with it, they might lose that beautiful play pattern. But the pushback became greater and greater. And finally, Kim Colmoni, who is one of our main characters, says, we just can't tolerate this anymore. The world looks different. Barbie has to look different.
We now pick up my conversation with director Andrea Nevins and producer Kristen Crocker. They're the filmmakers of the Hulu documentary, Tiny Shoulders, Rethinking Barbie.
In the early 60s, there was a slumber party set that came with the bathroom scale that was permanently set at 110. And the little book that said on one side, how to lose weight, on the other side, don't eat. But before we just like indict Mattel, this body-shaming thing really was an epidemic in the culture.
The film tracks the history of Barbie and then goes behind the scenes to the internal struggles at Mattel over whether the company should redesign her unnaturally skinny yet curvy body. As a journalist, I envied the access that the filmmakers had to this massive corporation's private conversations. Director Andrea Nevins explained it was sort of a case of right access, right time, but that dealing with Mattel wasn't always easy.
I had a friend who was working there who I had spoken to, and she expressed such a joy and excitement about going to work every day all of a sudden, because she said they were at a moment, a kind of real low point with the doll, where they were afraid that she was going to disappear, and that her need was going to disappear. So I happened to talk to her at that moment, and it was a moment where they happened to be willing to open the doors to let some real light in. Because without light, without outside viewers, they were afraid they'd get stuck and kind of just keep reinventing the same wheel. And they needed to reinvent a new wheel. And so we were lucky enough to be at that place at that moment.
But we also had to, over the course of the 2 years, we had to continue to fight for that access. We would have times where it would ebb and flow. And it's a testament to Andrea's tenacity and desire to tell this story, and also our combined love of wanting to have the access that you mentioned envying, and realizing what an amazing opportunity that was, that, you know, kept us at it. And the reason we continued, we didn't give up, because there were definitely times where it was incredibly challenging for us to maintain that access.
Because
and I know
of
it's,
what?
It's odd, because of what, to maintain that access?
Yeah, what was the issue about losing the access?
They would become afraid of showing what the process was. They were afraid both because of competitors. The toy industry is incredibly competitive. It's incredibly easy for another company to swoop in, take an idea, and get it to market faster, and then you lose all of your research, development, and product. But in addition, they just were unaccustomed to allowing outside eyeballs in. It's very vulnerable. You put yourself in a very vulnerable position when you allow people in to see where you have fear. And they were incredibly frightened.
How did you decide which Mattel executives that you would focus on, and were they initially willing to share their personal lives and time at home?
No, we're not.
Absolutely, 100% no.
No, Mattel is very, very protective of their brand. I hate using that word; it's a word they use a lot. But they're very protective of Barbie. They're very protective of the women who work on Barbie. And rightly so. They get lambasted for almost anything. And one of the things that we found fascinating as we were looking at this doll is that that it mirrored the fact that women get lambasted for almost anything they do. We were filming during the period when Hillary Clinton was running for president, and we were listening on the radio to the fact that if she changed her hair color or wore a different color suit, that would be a subject of conversation. There's nothing that women do that isn't a subject of conversation, and not just a subject of conversation, but a subject of criticism. So it wasn't only the doll that got that criticism. They knew that women and their women would be a subject of criticism, so they were very protective of them. I think what happened after a year and a half of filming is that they started to understand that we were not interested in tearing down these women. We were interested in telling their story, and that as that became clearer, they became more willing to let us in.
These women, and there's a couple of men, but they're mostly women, are obviously selling a toy, and they are part of a public company that has quarterly earnings and shareholders, and they're trying to make a buck. But their focus seems to be that and Barbie's place in the culture and what we as a group of women are going to do collectively as business leaders. Did that strike you as you're watching it, that there's something more going on than just the redesign and launching of a toy?
Definitely. I mean, that was when Andrea and I first walked through the doors in El Segundo. I mean, that was, Andrea had a heads up about what was happening behind the doors. But once we were in there and got to meet the women, that the top executives there, we were completely taken with their passion and their unity for what they were doing.
And in terms of the complication, I think that you're referring to of they're selling something as well as shaping culture is something that they're aware of every step of the way. And that's a really complicated line to toe. Every decision they make has repercussions for little girls, for mothers, for feminists, for women. I can't think of another brand that has that level of complication.
And how's Barbie done since you finished filming?
She's done incredibly well. I can't give you the exact numbers. I have talked to analysts off the record, but she has sold better than she's sold in years and consistently for the past 3 years.
Andrea Nevins is the director and producer of Tiny Shoulders. Kristen Crocker is the producer of the film. Andrea and Kristen, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks, John. It was really fun.
Thank you very much.
The documentary Tiny Shoulders, Rethinking Barbie is on Hulu now.
I'm just a backwards Barbie. Too much makeup, too much hair. Don't be fooled. Shall